You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
An angry mob is at the gate, but the United States Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. So it's time for the adults in the room to have their seat at the table. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats have had their turn. The sham is over. A fair trial starts now.
January the 22nd, 2020, that's part of the clip of a new campaign ad released by the National Republican Senate Committee as they promote what's happening right now with the impeachment trial in the Senate. It's pretty powerful. In fact, I have now posted it at Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can go to that page and see it as well. And we're going to talk about it and play more clips as we move forward. I like it. I like it a lot. It's saying the Senate exists for moments like this. In other words, to uphold the U.S. Constitution, to not allow your votes to simply be thrown out, overturned, because the other side did not like you winning. That's the whole essence of what's behind this current impeachment issue. But, of course, the battle continues. And the U.S. Senate voting early hours today to finally approve the rules for the impeachment trial. And they accepted the rules presented by the Republicans. The vote came down after 12 hours of heated debate. And it came down to a vote along party lines, 53 to 47. So House lawmakers later this afternoon will begin laying out the details. But right now, it's in play. And some of the remarks that were taking place last night got a little contentious. Congressman Jerry Nadler, part of the House management team, make that House prosecutors, trying to present their case to the senators. And Congressman Nadler pointing directly at the Republicans and making these remarks.
They complain about process, but they do not seriously contest any of the allegations against the president. They insist that the president has done nothing wrong, but they refuse to allow the evidence and hear from the witnesses. They will not permit the American people to hear from the witnesses. And they lie, and lie, and lie, and lie.
Congressman Nadler would know a lie when he sees one, because he tells them, as does Adam Schiff, they know lies. Now, in the midst of this last night, Chief Justice Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court, who's presiding over this, basically parliamentary rules, things of that nature, cannot make a decision one way or the other. He's not allowed to. By saying he cannot, I don't mean he's not capable. I'm just saying by the Constitution, he cannot make the decision. It has to be the senators. But he did admonish both sides for some of their language. It was kind of like a parent talking to two children. They know only one of them is really guilty, but they want the message to sink in, and they think they will blunt the child that's really the one responsible. They will blunt them and give them kind of a way out if both children are addressed. Well, we're going to get into that a little bit later. We're going to be joined by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation on this impeachment. Hillary's facing backlash for remarks about Bernie, and Bernie answers her with a comment that's really kind of funny. And also had the tragic story involving a mother and her three children. And that Kansas-Kansas State game that turned into a street fight last night. I've got some comments about that. Oh, did you hear what Biden has done? Biden is trying so hard to make it appear that I'm the left of the left of the left. He is now saying, if I'm elected president and any ICE agents arrest and deport illegal immigrants, for a drunk driving arrest, I will fire those agents. He will fire them for enforcing federal immigration laws because they're deporting illegal immigrants over a drunk driving arrest. That's how far Biden is going, trying to pander to the left and get the votes. And, of course, four of the senators campaigning for the Democrat banner are tied up in the U.S. Senate. 12 hours yesterday and many more hours and days to come. They can't go out and campaign. It breaks my little pea-picking heart. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They never wanted him to be president. They never even thought it was possible.
This isn't a real presidential run.
Trump will not be president.
He will never be president.
But then, America spoke.
A complete earthquake.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And when President Trump was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, the left lost it. This impeachment sham started the day he was elected.
The first headline in the Washington Post before the president was inaugurated was they were going to impeach him.
I will fight until he is impeached.
We're going to go in there and we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
They're impeaching me. You know why? Because they want to win an election. And that's the only way they can do it.
Of course, the closing words there from President Trump. Again, that is part of the new campaign the National Republican Senatorial Committee released to boost the GOP numbers in the Senate and across the nation. It plays very, very well and right to the heart of the issues of the matter. As I said, you can see the whole thing at Larry Connors USA Facebook. I'm going to play the audio for the whole spot here in a moment. But it's doing a perfect job, and it's laying out exactly the fact that they have been after this president from day one. In the midst of that, you heard Congresswoman Maxine Waters, I'm going to impeach him. And then, of course, you had some members of the squad, AOC and Tlaib and the others saying, I can't wait to get in office till I can impeach the MFR. This is their attitude. It makes no difference what the facts are. They lost the election. They don't think he should have won. they don't like the outcome of the election, so the next thing is jam everything up, which is what they've been doing. And now we're at this impeachment trial. Yesterday, they argued back and forth over rules and basic motions they kept presenting. Democrats kept trying to push this and push that. A lot of bitter exchanges. And in fact, the CNN headline on their page read at one point, "Bitter exchanges and incriminating evidence rocked the trial." There was no incriminating evidence. Don't read the headline and think, oh my God, they got a smoking gun. There was none. There was nothing new. Nothing. And of course, they're still fighting to have more witnesses come forward. That's going to raise a very interesting issue, because there's a story going around that perhaps what will happen, that the Democrats will say, look, we are willing to concede to let you have Hunter Biden, but we want John Bolton. They believe that John Bolton, who previously had served in the Trump administration, left on not so good terms. Even President Trump admitted that in a news conference before he left Davos, Switzerland, that maybe Bolton has some things to say that might be incriminating. The Trump administration says you cannot talk to him because he has privileged information that I've shared with him as president, and he might blurt out something that would cause us troubles in relations with other countries. Now, you can accept that as a bogus argument or a fact. I don't care. The bottom line is we should not be going through this, because there's nothing in this case so far, and it can't be changed at this point, on the impeachment articles that says this is an impeachable issue at any point for this president. Let's go to the words of Harvard professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz. Now, again, this is a guy who did not vote for Trump. He's a member of the Democrat Party still, but he likes to deal with the law and see the law the way it is written, not just in simple interpretation, and because I don't like it, I'll take some crayons and mark some words out and write new words in. Alan Dershowitz sticks with the Constitution. Here's what he says about this impeachment and these articles of impeachment.
Other high crimes and misdemeanors means crimes like treason and bribery. They don't have to be technical crimes. If a person commits bribery, but he's out of the jurisdiction or the statute of limitations is over, he could still be impeached. But they have to be criminal-like conduct akin to treason and bribery. That's why the whole debate over witnesses is premature. First, the Senate should decide, is there a case? If this were a criminal case, I'd be making a motion to dismiss. Say somebody is indicted for dishonesty, and they have a whole list of things he did. I would go into court and say dishonesty is not a crime. And I would go to the Senate and say that abuse of power is not a crime. And so you don't need witnesses, if my view prevails. You don't need documents. You get right to the vote, and you acquit.
And that's what some want to see happen. To go ahead, get to the vote, and acquit. As it is now, they're set up for additional days of testimony to come, letting the Democrats have their 24 hours in full, followed by Republicans. And, of course, questions cannot be asked directly. They have to be submitted in writing to the Chief Justice, who will then read the questions. But those comments from Harvard professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz, not a Trump supporter, did not vote for him, a member of the Democrat Party, saying, you have no constitutional rights, no high crimes nor misdemeanors of any type that correspond to the Constitution. Well, House impeachment manager, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, he knows a lot more about the law than Alan Dershowitz. Well, he seems to. Let me put it this way. He's describing Dershowitz as not, quote, a reputable constitutional law expert. Wow. Schiff said they made the argument you'll want to hear from later on, apparently Professor Dershowitz, that abuse of power is not an impeachable offense. He said it's interesting they had to go outside the realm of constitutional lawyers and scholars to a criminal defense lawyer to make that argument, because no reputable constitutional law expert would do that. That is wrong. That's a flat-out lie. One of them that was called when they had all their parade of experts in front of the House was Jonathan Turley, a law professor. And he said, you had nothing here, and if you continue, you're doing great damage to our nation because you had no impeachable offenses. But, of course, Schiff is saying, I know better than Dershowitz. You know, Congressman Collins, watching all of this, and Adam Schiff and his prior remarks and things he's been doing from time to time as he's pushed this agenda and claiming that he knows better than anyone else. And, of course, remember, Adam Schiff is the one who supposedly spoke to the whistleblower and then denied, well, I didn't actually speak to them. They came, and I don't really know who they are. And I think that's also a lie. That's my opinion. But Congressman Collins, Republican of Georgia, said Adam Schiff is going to tell any story he needs to. And in particular, there's a text message exchange involving former Rudy Giuliani associate Lev Parnas. And Adam Schiff apparently was mischaracterizing it. And Politico pointed that out in one of its articles, that Schiff had not properly detailed the event. In other words, he was rewriting the history to fit his narrative. And here's Congressman Collins on his view of Adam Schiff.
He's willing to say anything, do anything, tell anything to get at this president. This is not just a simple pattern, a one-off. It's not a two-off. It's just a regular habit of what this man does. He does not want to come to grips with the truth that the president is the president. He's doing a good job, and he wants to do anything he can to take him down. But the whining and the theater that's going on the Senate floor today from him and others is just, it really takes the cake today. And it just shows the American people how weak the case is and how they're wanting other people to do their job for him.
And you know where he is now, Adam Schiff, on what he's saying? He's now arguing that a refusal by the Senate to agree to the Democrats' demand to allow new witnesses and evidence in this trial would deem President Donald Trump guilty regardless of the verdict. Regardless of the verdict. Let me repeat that again. Regardless of the verdict, Trump will be guilty. If he's found innocent by the Senate and no reason to go forward, he is guilty. Of course, if he's convicted by the Senate, he is guilty. In other words, if the Republican-led Senate does not carry out this impeachment trial the way the Democrats want it, Trump will be guilty. Period. Well, then why are we bothering with all of this? You've already declared he's guilty. And, of course, they've already declared from day one that he should be impeached and that he was colluding with the Russians. We spent 2.5 years and a lot of money on that. And then the Zelensky call with the Ukraine president. And we started down that road. And they started pushing quid pro quo, and that fell apart. So they started looking at other charges and doing focus groups as to what would appeal to the American public. Things like terms like bribery, extortion. Oh, yeah, those sound good. So they use that, but that's not part of their charge. Those are not charges mentioned in their documents as presented to the House, to the Senate. They mention abuse of power, which, again, no one can really say what that is. If he told you, and you're sitting at a table, if the president said, I don't like broccoli, so you eat my broccoli. I want you to eat my broccoli. That's abuse of power. He's making me eat his broccoli. Does that sound silly? That's because it is. The whole thing is silly. And then, of course, obstruction of Congress. What exactly does that mean? The president, the executive branch, will not bow to every wish and demand from Congress? That happens with every president. Every president. And to that extent, during the Fast and Furious investigation, the Obama administration, Obama would not allow Attorney General Holder to go speak to them. He blocked it. Obstruction of Congress. Did they go after him? Nope. No, they didn't. And in addition to pointing out how Schiff is just willing to say anything to get the president, Congressman Collins also talked about how Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is carrying on his own little war.
Schumer has decided, along with Schiff and others, to put the Senate on trial, basically saying if the Senate doesn't do what we want to do, then they're corrupt. But the last part about this is really the problematic part. At the end of the day, Sean, remember, let's remind the audience this. At the end of the day, about the call, two people on the call, Zelensky and President Trump, no pressure. Both of them have said so. There was no conditionality on the aid. There was nothing done there. The Ukrainians did not even know that aid was held up at the time of the call. And then at the end of the day, the aid was released before the deadline of September 30th, and aid was released with no meetings. Let's never forget, there are four facts that never change. This president did nothing wrong, and all the Democrats want to do is just stretch it out to try and get to this president before next November.
And it's dragging out, and it's not good. It's not good for four of the senators inside the Senate: Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar, Bennett. They want to be on the campaign trail. While they're locked up in the Senate, they cannot have their phones. They cannot be texting. They can do nothing but sit there and listen. And in fact, Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, said sitting in the Senate chamber for almost 12 hours yesterday was, quote, like sitting on a tractor. I'm just sitting on my tractor, waiting for the crops to come in or the rain to go or whatever. I'm just sitting on my tractor. That's what I'm doing. They can't do anything else. They got to sit there and wait and wait, let the arguments go back and forth. They can't do a darn thing. And those who want to run for the White House are stuck in there thinking, oh, Biden's out there running around and Bloomberg, and I'm stuck here. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play that entire ad, the audio of it, produced by the Republicans to promote the Senate and this trial and Facts of America.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we're both enough. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worthy of love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, as promised, I want to play the entire audio from this new ad for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, basically aimed at saying this is why we need more GOP senators, because if the Democrats get control of the Senate, if they had control right now, there wouldn't even be a hearing. The House members would have gone in and said, here are the indictments, and they'd say, slam dunk, Trump is impeached, because that's where the impeachment trial goes, to the Senate. So once again, listen to this full ad as just released by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
They never wanted him to be president. They never even thought it was possible.
This isn't a real presidential run.
Trump will not be president.
He will never be president.
But then, America spoke.
A complete earthquake.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And when President Trump was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, the left lost it.
Justice!
We the people!
This impeachment sham started the day he was elected.
The first headline in the Washington Post before the president was inaugurated was they were going to impeach him.
I will fight until he is impeached.
We're going to go in there and we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
They're impeaching me. You know why? Because they want to win an election. And that's the only way they can do it.
So let's be clear. This is not some neutral judgment that Democrats came to reluctantly. It's not some somber moment or serious exercise for the left. It is the predetermined end of a partisan crusade.
Nancy Pelosi has said she's not going to send the articles of impeachment over.
Wait a minute. This is not very serious if you're not sending over the articles.
Which was for handing out souvenir impeachment pens.
The Congress is wasting a lot of their time and our time.
I've been a Democrat for 49 years. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party right now.
They are trying to prevent President Trump from winning a second term.
An angry mob is at the gate. But the United States Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. So it's time for the adults in the room to have their seat at the table. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats have had their turn. The sham is over. A fair trial starts now.
That's great. That's great. And you can see the video, in addition to just listening to it, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, see the entire video. Comments already coming in on that text page. Mark saying, I like it. They need to run that everywhere, especially CNN. if they pay for the time, they'll get it on there. And Michael saying, Michelle, do you know who narrated the video? The voice seems familiar, but I can't place it. No, I'm afraid I don't. And Judy simply says, amen. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Hans von Spakovsky for the Heritage Foundation and his take as to where we stand now on this impeachment charade, now that it's actually into the Senate, and they're preparing to start actual arguments, not just over parliamentary rules and various proposals, but the actual arguments of the case. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. In less than 20 minutes, the impeachment trial of President Trump scheduled to resume in about 20 minutes. Joining us on air, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. Glad to have you back, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
I want to go through some of the details of what happened yesterday, where we go from here. But before I do that, we were playing before you joined us this NRSC video accusing Democrats of trying to impeach Trump because they don't believe they can beat him in 2020. And I think it's a dynamite piece pushing the point the Republicans have got to hold the Senate, because if the intention of the Democrats after he gets reelected in 2020 is to come do this again, if they don't have the Senate, it will certainly be an impeachment.
It does, because, look, this is the weakest case of impeachment I think ever presented to the U.S. Senate. There have been 20 in American history, and this one is so thin, it is so weak that the Democrats really, I don't believe, have made the case for the removal of the president. They haven't really proven that he engaged in any serious misconduct so serious that it meets the impeachment standard in the Constitution. And I think their behavior yesterday which consisted of emotional tirades, and the general positions they have taken, which have been to greatly exaggerate things, really show the weakness of their case. I mean, look, the best example of that is the fact that a week or so ago, as you know, Nancy Pelosi said that the behavior of Donald Trump is worse, far worse than anything Richard Nixon did. Now, that is on the facts. That is an absurd statement. I mean, Richard Nixon covered up the felonious burglary of political subordinates, destroyed evidence, tampered with witnesses through payoffs, to say that a dispute over foreign aid to Ukraine, which was just only delayed for a couple of weeks, that's far worse than anything Richard Nixon does. That kind of exaggeration, I think, shows how weak their case is.
But they think it will resonate. And in fact, part of this clip of this new ad states in the beginning, it shows a Washington Post headline from January 20, 2017, the day Trump was sworn in. It says the campaign to impeach President Trump has begun, reemphasizing that resist movement started then. So anything and everything they've done since then has been leading to this point, regardless of the facts.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's true. And we got actually more of that yesterday. Yesterday was the first day of the impeachment trial, but what they were arguing about all day were the rules under which the impeachment trial would go forward. And what's interesting is that all day the Democrats repeatedly tried to say that the rules proposed by Mitch McConnell were unfair, were partisan, would lead to a cover-up, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, the resolution that he put forward, which they adopted late last night, is virtually the same as the resolution that was adopted to set out the rules for the Clinton impeachment 2 decades ago. And back then, they were adopted 100-0, with all Republicans and all Democratic senators agreeing that was the fairest way to do it. But the fact that they were misleading the public so much on those rules yesterday tells you that what we're going to be seeing in the next week or so is a lot of political theater as opposed to, I think, an actual presentation of real facts and real evidence.
To that extent, House Intel Committee Chairman Schiff also arguing that if the Senate doesn't agree to our demand to allow new witnesses, Trump's going to be guilty regardless.
Yeah, well, if he believed those new witnesses were needed, why didn't he call them and investigate the case when this was over in the House? Why did they rush through impeachment without doing that? And if any of those witnesses, you know, were refusing to testify, the House of Representatives could have easily gone to court, as happened during the Nixon investigation,
but
to get a court
to
order.
They wanted to rush this.
Yeah. No, that's true. And it is not up to the Senate, constitutionally, to complete an inadequate investigation by the House. The Senate's job is to take all of the evidence gathered by the House and determine, is it sufficient to justify removing the president? It's not up to the Senate to make up for the inadequacies of the House of Representatives.
You're listening to Hans Pakoski of the Heritage Foundation. There's been a story going around that maybe the Democrats are going to, quote, call the Republicans bluff, say, all right, we will let you bring Hunter Biden in, but we want John Bolton. In other words, we get Bolton, you get Biden. Sound legit? Sound like it's a bluff they're playing? Where does it go?
No, I don't think they would ever agree to that because the corruption that is clearly inherent in what Hunter Biden did and the way his father covered up for him when he was the vice president, there is no way they want that coming out in the Senate trial. So I think there's almost no chance of that happening.
Now, there, of course, in this charge, one of the charges, obstruction of Congress, in part they're pointing to the fact that Trump won't allow some documents over, won't witnesses such as Bolton. But I didn't hear them. I didn't hear any complaints like that when Obama directed Eric Holder that he should not go testify reference the Fast and Furious issue.
Well, no, and that's because executive privilege, which is the ability of a president to protect from disclosure his communications with his closest advisors, people like Eric Holder, That's been recognized in the United States since George Washington was president. And if, in fact, that was an impeachable offense, almost every president we've ever had would have been removed by the U.S. Senate.
Well, Alan Dershowitz, as you well know, Harvard Law School professor emeritus and a Democrat and did not vote for Trump, has said this basically has the abuse of power, the obstruction of Congress, obviously don't meet constitutional standards and that bar. But Adam Schiff knows better because he says Dershowitz is not a reputable constitutional law expert.
That's another one of these nutty claims that they are making. I mean, look, he is known as one of the top leading experts on the Constitution in the entire country and has been for a long, long time. So the idea or the claim by Schiff why he's not an expert, I mean, again, that is just an absurd, ridiculous claim. What it boils down to is Schiff doesn't have the substantive ability to dispute what Dershowitz is saying.
And what we saw last night, for folks who bothered watching, and I doubt many did, but it's certainly into the early morning hours, some bickering back and forth, maybe some shouting, some name-calling on both sides, to the point where Chief Justice Roberts decided to admonish both sides and complain about pettifogging, which you might need to explain that to the audience.
Yeah, pettifogging is an old legal term that refers to lawyers who make a big deal out of very small and unimportant things. And, you know, what prompted that whole exchange was started by Jerry Nadler, who's one of the House managers, one of the House prosecutors, and the chairman of their Judiciary Committee, when he basically started attacking not just the president's defense team, but the entire Senate, saying that if the Senate didn't agree do all the things that Nadler and his folks want them to do, all these new witnesses, all these changes in the rules, that they would be engaged in a cover-up. And in essence, he insulted the entire U.S. Senate, and that's what prompted that exchange.
And to that extent, I mean, but the judge, Justice Roberts, of course, did he feel compelled, I've got to say this, to admonish both sides, like a parent instructing not just admonishing not just the child that broke the jar, but Paul, the other kids in there too, so they get the same word and they kind of get not whipped, but at least they get the lecture?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. People should keep in mind that they should not get confused by the fact that the Chief Justice is presiding over this. He does not have the power to make decisions the way a regular judge does. His role is largely ceremonial. He can't decide, for example, whether witnesses will be called. He can't decide whether particular evidence should be admitted or not. The senators are the ones who act not just as a jury, but also as 100 judges, and they are the ones who vote on all of those issues.
I want to circle back briefly as we wrap this up to that video that's now out, accusing Democrats of trying to impeach Trump from the beginning. And it points out an angry mob is at the gate, but the U.S. Senate has the watch. Goes on to say this is what the Senate was designed for. In other words, how crucial the election for senators will be in this next election.
Yeah, they're right about that. And let's hope that the Senate does what it was designed to do, which is to stop the tyranny of mob rule, and that's what it seems to be going on here.
All right. Hans, as always, we appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again because we got several more days yet to go.
Too many.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks very much. Always glad to have him on board, Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit more in the second hour about Justice Roberts and his ruling and admonishment of the two sides, both sides. We're going to get in that in a little bit more detail in the next hour. But we're going to take a break now. When we come back, I want to deal with this brawl that happened last night near the end of the Kansas State basketball game. I've got some sharp comments about what took place. You may agree or you may think, Larry, you're getting overboard on this. Well, let me explain my thoughts, and you can kind of put your thoughts up against mine. Don't forget that video of the campaign is now at LarryConnorsUSAFacebook.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So what happened last night at the Kansas-Kansas State game, the basketball game? It was near the end of the game. Players of both teams got involved. The Jayhawks had an 81-59 win. And all the chaos started when Kansas State guard DeJuan Gordon was blocked, and Kansas forward Silvio D'Souza stood over him, barking at him, apparently. And players from both benches ran on the floor as the clock ran out. Seconds earlier, D'Souza had been stripped by Gordon near midcourt, and Gordon tried to go in for a layup, and the shot was rejected. And D'Souza kind of walked over to Gordon and stood over him as he lay on the floor. That triggered the benches to clear. At one point in all this, D'Souza picked up a stool, held it above his head as if he was going to swing it at a Kansas State player, but an assistant coach grabbed him from behind. Both coaching staffs and arena security had to separate the teams. They had kind of a bizarre finish. The officials summoned the players back from their locker rooms and put 0.1 seconds back on the clock for Kansas State to shoot free throws, with a lot of boos from the few thousand still in the arena. It's unclear if there are going to be suspensions at this point. It shouldn't be unclear. It should be very evident they're going to have suspensions. I do not understand what I saw last night. What that began to turn into reinforces in my mind that some of these young men think they're just, and I understand the pressure of the game and you're involved and everything. I've never played to that level. I'm not that good. Never have been. Don't claim to be in any sport. But when you go to this level, you basically are looking at a street brawl. When they start doing this, they're nothing better than thugs in the street. They may have a scholarship, but they're nothing more than thugs in the street at that point. Now, of course, not all of them are directly involved. Some are trying to stop it. And then inadvertently, they end up getting involved. And you see the same thing, of course, in the professional leagues. You saw the thing recently with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mason Rudolph. Remember, he took that helmet, was swinging at the head took off Rudolph's helmet, I should say, and hit the quarterback in the head with it. He ended up getting a $50,000 fine, and some of the other players involved got something like $3,500 or whatever. This is the kind of stuff that right now, we apparently have kids hungering for it and like it and love it. That's not the game. That's not the game. You got to check your emotions. You play with all your heart and your intensity, but you cannot go from an intense and very embittered battle on a sports team on the court or on the field to thuggery at any point. We've got kids in junior high watching that, kids in grade school. They see this kind of stuff happening in the pros, be it NFL or NBA, or they see it in some other sport. They see it here on the college level field. If you don't crack down and make it clear and make them pay a high punishment for it, it will continue. You have to decide, of course, who you're going to penalize. And some of the intimidating remarks or threatening remarks, things of that nature that are made before all of it, have to be taken into account as well. The baiting. And, of course, in some cases they claim that, well, they used a racial slur against me. That's what was with the Pittsburgh Steeler case. He claimed that a racist remark had been made. But apparently there was no audio to prove that. But you got to put a stop to this. And it starts with the coaches, and it starts with the whole attitude. It also starts, I'm going to point out very directly, especially when we move to the pro level, when football teams in particular, which you've seen numerous cases, are hiring and picking up players who obviously have a temper management issue and they've been facing previous charges elsewhere at their school or whatever else, and they put them on the field, and they think they're going to be a fine representative for the team. They might be great at their position, but they're not going to be a great representative for your team. There are a lot of kids that would like to have the opportunity to play in that Kansas-Kansas State game that would have been a little bit more level-headed at that point. Those kind have to be removed. And parents at some of these other games, when they get involved, they're just as guilty. We need to reinforce winning and losing with grace, losing in particular with grace, and also stop the baiting and all the rest of the calls that go to spark such an incident. All right, coming up in the next hour, Hillary was making some remarks about Bernie, and Bernie's made a remark back. It's kind of funny what he had to say. And then we're going to talk again about Chief Justice Roberts chastising members of the Senate last night. And then, you know what filicide is? Filicide is a crime of parents killing their own children. I have a tragic story. We'll be sharing all of that coming up in the next hour. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.